You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Anyway, I think probably most of y'all know this song. We don't have it on our Rec Room songbook yet, but we will eventually. We want to add some more songs to our Rec Room songbook, but I know many of you became familiar with this song while you were someplace else. Because one of the guys that came and spoke not long ago, named Steve, what's his last name, from Andrews, Sutherland. This was a song he gave us. Here we go. It's time, time for the dead and gone. Time for the broken ones to live again. It's time, time for the dead to rise. Time for the wings to fly, to live again. I can hear the calling. I can hear the sound of rain over the mountains and over the valleys. I hear the calling. It's time. It's time. Time for the dead to sing. Time for the walls to ring with the songs of freedom. It's time. Time for the numb to feel. Time for the wounds to heal with the songs of freedom. Over the mountains and over the valleys, I hear the calling. It's time. Time, time for the tide to turn. It's time for our hearts to burn with a desperation. It's time that we pay the price. It's time for a sacrifice for our generation. I can hear the calling. I can hear the sounds of rain over the mountains and over the valleys. I hear the calling. It's time. How many of you know this? If you don't, it's real easy. Help me on that chorus. I can hear the calling over the mountains. Over the mountains and over the valley. I hear the calling. It's time. It's time for the dead to rise. It's time, time for the dead to rise. It's time for the wings to fly. It's time for the sin. Oh, I'm sorry, I got confused. It's time, I hear the calling. I hear the calling. It's time. It's time for the numb to feel. It's time for the wounds to heal. And I hear the calling. It's time. It's time that we pay the price. It's time for a sacrifice. I hear the calling, it's time. And over the cities and over the nations, I hear the calling, it's time. Sing that one with me. Over the cities, over the nations, over the cities. I hear the calling, hear the calling, it's time. I hear the calling, it's time. I hear the calling, it's time. Cut it a little short because not as many of you knew it as I thought, but we'll get it in our rec room book.
When my wife and I left our church, we'd kind of outgrown the little church we were going to, and we were looking for another church. We had this whole list of churches we were going to come visit, and we came to Life Change, and we never left. You know, that's the way it works out, and Johnny and Kathy and the church are gracious enough to loan us this room so we can have a meeting here on Thursday nights. They give us this facility. That's why we're real careful about trying to take care of everything and pick up after ourselves. Because the church members have to pick up after us if we don't. So that's another reason that I ask y'all to put your cigarette butts in those cans, because one of these days he's going to make me, since I'm the only smoking member of this church, I'm going to have to start picking the butts up out of the grass. So if y'all would put your butts in there. Please tell Leland. I went over it twice. I want to tell you, this guy is fabulous. The day we came, I felt straight at home in this church. He very seldom preaches on Thursday night from his own pulpit. He loans it to other people. And he's quite gracious about it. He's so hardworking that his Bible is held together with duct tape. Now, a preacher that's got a duct tape Bible, that's a hard preaching preacher. Johnny, come on.
The reason it has duct tape is because my wife beats me over the head with it, and I have to keep it together. That's the truth right there. Well, I tell you, I've had every reason to be discouraged this week. Leland asked me to do this last week. So I'm feeling, oh, I get to speak at the rec room. That's wonderful. So I go in Evelyn's office, and we're just chit-chatting and talking and all this. And here's her first statement was, we had a really good rec room the other night. Like, are you going to be really good? And then my wife this afternoon asked me, said, who's speaking at the rec room? I said, I am. She said, well, I'm thinking about not going. And she ain't here. So I got down and I thought, there's no reason to be down, because God has done so much for me. I'm not going to be probably funny. I'm not going to be humorous or even throw some sad stories out there. I'm just going to try to tell you the truth, which is one of the things we need in our world this generation, is we need some truth. I was sitting in my office yesterday. One of our staff members came in, and we were talking too about how we could reach more people and how we could get people to come to church. And we said, well, we could tell them about all the things that Jesus is going to give them. You know, He knows the plans He has for us. He knows the blessings He wants to give to us. If you'll just come, God will get you rich. If you'll just send me $1,000, God will just overshadow you with tons of money. And if you'll just come to Jesus, your life's going to be always happy. If you'll just come to Jesus, I mean, it's just on and on and on. I came to Jesus over 30 years ago, and I can promise you, that's a lie. That when you become a Christian and you serve God, the devil is going to come at you just about every day of your life, trying to discourage you, trying to get you down, trying to get you off track, trying to not get you to not go to Jesus. I've heard sermons when I was a young man going to the Temple Baptist Church, Jerry Thorpe or Brother Thorpe would be speaking, and man, you could just feel, you ever felt something just inside of you that just says, you need to go up there. Why don't you go up there and get saved? You need to go up there. And man, the devil just, then the devil would work on my life and say, oh, you don't need to go. Don't go. You're scared and all these things. And I wouldn't go. The devil will attack you to keep you from going where God wants you to go. He wants to save you. He wants to do great things in your life. He wants to bless you. But can I tell you, we talk all the time about the financial blessings of all that God's going to do for you. God doesn't, He's not the only one that has money to give. The Bible says that Jesus owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He owns all the oil well and all of the money. He can give it to anybody He wants to. But can I tell you, the devil does too? When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what was the first thing the devil offered Him? I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just bow down and worship Me. He had the authority to give Jesus anything He wanted. So when people say, man, God loves me because you are to see my bank account. Boy, Jesus loves me because you are to see all the stuff I have. God has been so good to me. And I got to thinking, God has been good to a lot of us, but what about the guy, the drug dealer that's got millions in the bank? What about the guy that owns, and I know him personally, and he's a friend of mine, I'm probably not a good friend, and I don't mean to be harsh. I have an identical twin brother. Isn't that all unique? We look exactly the same. His wife and him, my wife, and we were all sitting outside one time, and his wife got up to go somewhere, came and sat down and put her arm around me. That's how bad things were. We sound alike. And so we were going to Ector. Just an interesting story. We were going to Ector over here. We both graduated from Ector. And I was walking down the hall one day, and this big old guy came over and hit me right in the mouth. I mean, I'm just walking, talking, and bam, knocked me to the ground. I was about 14 or 15 years old. I said, what are you doing? He said, James, you know what I'm doing. I said, my name's Johnny. And I wanted to go get my brother and pounce him more. But he had a 16-year-old daughter driving down 8th Street, right here at 8th and Grant. Boy, not taking a friend home. She's never been to a prom. She's never even been on a date. But he's going to allow her to go to the junior-senior prom, which was going to be held on the weekend, Friday night. This is on a Wednesday night. I got a call at the middle of the night, said, Johnny, somebody just ran over and killed Rochelle. And I thought, wow, what happened, James? He said, there's a drunk guy. He was doing 85 miles an hour down Andrews Highway. And when he got to 8th Street, he decided not to stop because the police was chasing him, hit her car, and killed her instantly. I hate alcohol. But I had a man in our church, and again, I'm not being harsh, say, and he's the CEO of Pinkies. The Pinkies liquor stores. He said, me and my wife prayed for a business, and God gave us this liquor store business. And He's blessed us so much. And I got to thinking, I don't think God blesses that. I don't think we should associate God with that type of stuff. Because God is not in the alcohol business. God is in the saving lives and keeping your mind straight business. And so those things we could, and he's a very wealthy man. And I'm not being harsh with him because he's a friend of mine. I don't see him much anymore because we go to different churches now. But when I see him, we talk and just carry on conversation. I'm not mad at him. I just thought, what a business to be in when you see on the TV every night, boys and girls at home, mama's being abused because of an alcoholic husband or kids at home with nothing to eat because an alcoholic spent all their money on alcohol, not on food and clothes and shelter for the kids. And yet you're praising God for this business. I'm just saying that to say this. The devil has lots of money too. It's not about that. It's about your life. Jesus said the devil wants to destroy your life. So if you have, I don't know if Bibles have been passed out yet or not, but if you have a Bible in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, I'd like you to go there. We're going to read a story about treasures, about earthly treasures, which all of us like to have. I'm not saying it's wrong to have earthly treasures. I have some, and I'm not going to brag about that, but I'm going to tell you some things that God has blessed us with which mean nothing, absolutely nothing. My daughter and son-in-law, my son-in-law, they're moving to Michigan, so he's already in Michigan working, and they're going to go. They needed a car, so we loaned them our Lexus. Because a lady came to us one day and says, I want to give you this car. Because I'm going to get a new car. I said, well, what kind of car you got? She said, well, it's a Lexus LX400, which is luxury sedan. And I'm telling you, it's got, I still ain't figured out all the buttons it's got. On my watch, I'm wearing a Rolex with diamonds on it that a lady gave me. Because her husband had passed away. She was going to give it to him for Valentine's Day. And she said, he has died and I want you to have it. And I get embarrassed. I say, no, I don't want that. But she gave it to us anyway. And so we have these things. But can I tell you, they have not made us happy, any happier than when we didn't have them. Because see, the things of this world cannot bring happiness. I read a story about a man who was a multimillionaire. And somebody asked the man, why are you using just your money? They bought a private island in the Pacific. And they've stocked it with all kinds of exotic fish and all that. And they've taken cars and they've taken boats and sunk them to make a reef where it could keep these fish in there. And this man said to him, are you satisfied with your money? And the man looked at him and said these exact words. No, if I just had a little bit more. A little bit more. A multimillionaire. I just need a little bit more to feel secure, I think it'll give me happiness. Can I tell you, be honest with you, can you stand the truth? Nothing on this planet will bring you happiness. Nothing. I've tried it. I've tried sex. That brought about 5 minutes of happiness. I've tried money. Money didn't last very long either. I've tried giving myself stuff. There's two people driving my car, and that's me and my wife. We had 5 cars. We had 2 travel trailers. We had a boat we didn't even know how to use. We bought a horse just because the guy said, you need a horse. So we bought a horse. They never brought me contentment. They never brought me joy. They never brought me anything except to say, when I got to feed the horse. I got to buy insurance on the travel trailers. I got to buy insurance on the boat. I got to keep the payment. I got to do all of these things. And really, these things of the world were just draining me. Because now I had to work harder to pay for all these worldly things that I desired. And then I thought, what could bring me happiness? And so I started attending the Temple Baptist Church over here. Well, it's Temple Baptist Church. As a matter of fact, I talked to my pastor today. Jerry Thorpe called me today. And we were talking and just chit-chatting around. We're going to Branson in September. And he's going to go with us. Him and his wife are going to go to Branson with us if he can juggle his schedule. And so we're there and we're just thinking, what can make me happy? And he stands from a pulpit over there at that church. And he says these words, nothing in this earth will bring you happiness. The only way you'll ever find true happiness is in Jesus Christ. And you know what I found out over 30 years ago? That's exactly the truth. When God called me into ministry, that was the hardest struggle I had because I had to give up all that stuff. The money, because he was only going to pay me $300 a week. And you can't even feed a horse for that anymore. Give up all of that lifestyle, give up all of that stuff, and I was scared to death, but I told God, God, if you will save me, I will serve you the best I can. And I'm telling you right now, it ain't been very good. I hadn't done a very good job at it. But I said, if you'll save me, I'll do the best I can. And can I tell you, we've had a wonderful life. We've had a wonderful life without all of that stuff. I could literally take this watch off, and I can't do it because the lady will ask me what I did with it, but I could actually take this off, and I would let one of you have it. I have a Timex sitting on my dresser that I had before I got this one. This watch means absolutely nothing to me. That Lexus, we've been thinking about giving it away, but every time we do, the late Joel and Russell, the lady gave it to us, says, are you enjoying the car? Yeah, we're enjoying the car, so we can't get rid of that either. It's funny how people always want to know if you're enjoying stuff they give you. So we'd say, yeah, we can give that away. And I'm telling you, literally, it would not bother me one little bit to lose it. Because it don't bring happiness. But I'm telling you one thing that will. If you've got your Bible in Matthew 6 and verse 19, I'm going to tell you what will bring you true happiness that bubbles up inside of you. Look what it says. Do not lay up yourself for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But 20 says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I started to go into a little church, Calvary Baptist Church. Those of you at Hector, right across from Hector High School, it's now Bethlehem Baptist Church. Started going there as a little kid. My mama was teaching us the Bible. And I went over there and got into vacation Bible school and got all thinking, and I enjoyed it so much. But as I got older, I got to thinking church was about me. See, I'd go to church when I was a teenager, and I didn't have a lot of fun at church. I thought church was all about making me happy, giving me a good time, helping me to enjoy it, giving me some Kool-Aid and cookies. I thought that's what church was about. Me go to church because you were supposed to bless me. But at 29 across the street, I found out, no, I go to church to say, God, thank you. Thank you for when I remember that I was all of those things that people say about me. People that I've met, that I went to school with. I was born and raised in this town. So a lot of people know who I am. And some of them even know what I used to be. And they'll say, well, I know him when he was stealing cars. I know him when he was breaking into businesses and stealing, getting the stuff and selling it. I remember him when he was working at Frost Bakery and the police come up there and put handcuffs on him and hauled him to jail. I know when he was doing all of these things and all of those things. And I said, you know what? You don't even know the half of it. You don't even know all that I am. I was all of those things, but I was even much more than you'll ever be able to comprehend. But Jesus, see, gave me treasure, not of this earth, but of heaven. Of heaven where I'm going to spend, one of these are where I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And I'm going to rejoice for all of the things He's given me. And all of the things He's blessed me with. See, I have contentment, I have peace, I have joy, and I have all of the things that God has given me. And none of it comes from anything of this planet. So I'm going to read one more scripture, and then I'm going to be hurrying. John chapter 10, verse 10. And you probably already know that. You Bible scholars already know what this is already going to say. John 10:10 says this. It says, the thief doesn't come but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. You see, most people are not concerned about, most people are concerned about how long they're going to live. Not how they're going to live or where they're going to live when life is over. They want to know, Doc, when they feel an ailment, they go to the doctor because they don't want to die today. But can I tell you, everybody dies? Everybody's going to die. One of these days there's going to be a box sitting right here and my body's going to be lying in this box. And people might come by and shed a tear, might say, Johnny, we're going to miss you, but I'm still going to be in the box. And they're going to take that box and they're going to take it out to Sunset Gardens out there, and they're going to put it underground, and my body is going to stay there, but I'm going to be in heaven. Because you see, we've already scientifically proved that there is a body and there is a spirit world. People have died on the operating tables, and they said they floated up, and they would see the doctors working on their bodies, and then they would come back into that. I believe that is as real as can get. Somebody said, do you believe in ghosts? Yes, I do believe in ghosts. I call them spirits and angels. But they're saying things, I can't see them. But I know they're in this room tonight. You see, I'm going to go where they're at. I'm going to live in a different world, a better world than this world. But most people aren't concerned about that. They don't care about those things. So I'll give you a couple of thoughts before I sit down. Most in here will never understand the battle that's being waged about your soul, about your eternal soul. Most of you will never understand the battle that's going on. Job, in the book of Job, the Bible says that the devil came and said, look at Job. If you'll just take that hedge around, if you'll take your protection from him, I will show you he doesn't love you. And I don't know why God allowed this to happen. I have no clue. I hope it never happens to me. And the Bible says that God said, okay, you can do anything but kill him. And the first, you know the story of Job. They killed his children, 10 children. Took all of his service, took all that he owned, took all of his wealth, and then plastered his body with all kinds of sores. I'm telling you, right then, I would have probably said, okay, God, that's not what I signed up for. I didn't sign up to be treated like this. If you're not going to treat me better than this, you can just forget our deal. I'm breaking this contract. This ain't going to happen. But you see, when we get to thinking in reality, in the truth is, Satan wants your mind and your soul, because he knows that that God has prepared a place for him, and all those that are willing to follow him is called a place of hell, where you will spend not just a few days. I think sometimes I've been in hell for a few days, but where this is eternity. I can't even think in eternity, because I can only think in minutes and hours and years. I can't think in eternities. But we're going to spend eternity. People will spend eternity there. Are you having an opportunity to spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven? That's the truth of the Bible. So here's my two thoughts. Satan came to make your life miserable. Came to give you a miserable life. The story in the Bible about Job, I just talked about, he was experiencing all the wonders of heaven in the Bible, but said the devil took that all away from him. There's a man called Abraham who had wealth and who had happiness and all that thing, and it said the devil came and tried to destroy all of that from you. There's not a story in there about Johnny, but Johnny had the happiness, Johnny had the stuff, Johnny had all the things, and Satan wanted to destroy me with this stuff. You see, he got to thinking, you know, If I wouldn't serve God, then I could have all these things. I could go back and open up these businesses. I could go back and do all of these things. I could make myself happy physically again. He wanted me to do that. And I said, Satan, I'm not leaving. Jesus has filled my life with joy, eternal joy, the things that I need. That's what God has done for me. He has set me free from this thief who steals everything that I ever try to have. Every time I try to get joy, Satan tries to take it away from me. And he says, now what do you think about God? Isn't it easy to have something bad happen to you and you blame it on God? Well, God killed my daughter. God doesn't kill people. Alcohol, drugs, murder, disease. Where did that come from? That didn't come from God. That came from Satan. God didn't create none of that stuff. God created just joy and happiness. He told Adam and Eve, I want you to be blessed. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless your life. I'm sure, and I don't know your life, but I'm sure right now, looking at you in this room, some of you have kids that are sitting home in a different town tonight, wishing you were there, wondering why you're not there, wondering what they did to make you want to leave them. Husbands and wives are probably in a different town too. Why don't they love us enough to stop? Why don't they care about us as much as they care about this stuff? Why? I can tell you why. Because we believe the lie of the devil. And it's easy to do. All of us believe it. I'm no better than you. I've believed it myself. But the devil wants to come and beat you up. There were two guys named Steve and Mike, and they were bungee jumpers. And so one of them, Steve said to Mike, hey, Mike, you know what? If we pull all our money together and buy some equipment, we can go down to Mexico. They don't have bungee jumping down there, so we can go down there and start a bungee jumping business and make lots of money. He said, man, that's a great idea. And so they get down there and they're setting up their equipment. They said, you know what would really be neat? Let's show them a demonstration of how to bungee jump. That way they'll have an idea and maybe they'll want to do it. So Mike puts on the gear and he jumps. But Steve notices when Mike comes back up that he's got some scratches on him and some places that are starting to bleed. But he tries to reach out and catch him, but he goes back down. And then he comes back up and he notices now he's got blood all over him. His head is bruised up and all of those things. And he says, he couldn't catch him again. So he goes down again. And he comes back up and he notices he's got a broke arm. His arm is twisted. He's got blood all over him. And finally he reaches out and catches him. And so he says, Mike, was the cord too long? He said, no. The cord was just right. But what the heck is a pinata? Can I tell you? That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to mess you up. Something you think is good, he means it for evil. And so that's what we have to realize tonight. Satan's goal is to beat you up. He will not quit. He will not give up. He will be at it until you say, I will take no more of this. I'm standing with Jesus Christ. I'm giving my life to Him. And He said He will be my strength. So the Bible calls Him a thief. And He cares nothing about you. He cares nothing about you. Except to keep you hooked on pride, on selfishness, on arrogance. I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me where to live. Don't try to interfere in my happiness. I want to be happy and I'm going to be happy in this world, and you'll never find happiness in this world. I don't care how much money you've had. I don't care how much pleasure you've had. I don't care whatever brought you to this situation, life you're in. You're not going to find happiness in this world. You just mark it down. You have it for a little while. So I wrote this, if your life's a mess, if you feel beaten up, know this for a fact, Satan's behind it. Last thing, Jesus came. He said, I came to give you life. I came to make your life meaningful. I came to give you purpose. There's a guy named, his name is Eugene Lang. And he changed a group of sixth graders' life from East Harlem. Mr. Lang had been asked to give a speech to a group of 59 sixth graders about, he was a very wealthy man. And they wanted him to come in and try to encourage these kids. They were East Harlem, and just, they had no hope of anything. Their biggest goal was to get out and maybe make some money peddling drugs or stealing or pimping or whatever they could do. That was their life. They just knew that was all they were going to be able to do. So Mr. Lang decided, what can I say to these students that who most of them are going to drop out of school and turn to crime and drugs and alcohol and violence? What can I say that would help them, that would maybe give them a little spark? So he wondered he wondered how he could get them to even listen to him. A rich man talking to us. Well, yeah, a rich man's going to talk to us and he's going to leave. But what about us? Once he leaves, what's he going to do for us? So Mr. Lang made him this deal. He said, if you'll stay in school, I'll pay your tuition to college, all 4 years. Everyone who graduates, I will pay your way through college. At that moment, one of the students said, man, I found some hope here. If he really means that, I found some hope. I found a reason to get up tomorrow. I found a reason to try to do better. Because he had something he was never going to have before. He had hope. So one student thought, well, I'm going to look forward to this. No one's ever cared for me. And it said, this is a true story, said that 90% of the class went to graduate and went to college. 90%. Why? They were destined for nothing. And now they're college graduates. Why? Because they had hope in somebody that could help them. Can I tell you right now, guys, just to be honest, just me and you and the walls, Jesus will give you hope too. You might say, I can't quit what I'm doing. I've tried it. Well, I can promise you, you can quit. I've never been a drug dealer or used drugs. I've drank alcohol, but I don't really consider myself an alcoholic. But boy, I was one of the biggest thieves in Odessa. I tell folks all the time when I meet them, if you owned a business back in the 70s and 80s, I probably stole something from you. You won't get it back because I've already sold it and forgot your name and who you were anyway. But I came to church one day and a preacher said, Jesus will give you hope. Jesus can change your life. Mr. Lang did something incredible for those students. Can I tell you, Jesus said that He came to give you life too, to give you hope, make you an overcomer if you'll just trust Him. He only makes one requirement. You knew it was going to be a catch, didn't you? That you love Him. that you come to Him through faith and give your life to Him and say, Father, my life is a miserable wreck. Look what I've done in my life. How could you love me? And Jesus says He loves you so much that He came from heaven and died on a cross that you could have eternal life. He already has eternal life. He doesn't need anything from us. Mr. Lang didn't get anything from those kids. He gave everything. Jesus said, I come to give you everything I have. I have a home in heaven that's prepared for you. He said, I'm going to go with those of you that come to faith in Christ. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Just you'll have your name on it when you get there. Never doubt that God loves you so much that He wants you to have everything He's had. So He said, everything you have. He declared, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. For when we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So this is my close. Everyone is born with an evil heart. You and I both. We're born wanting our own way. We were born with pride. We don't like people telling us what to do. You've never asked, does God love me? Because the Bible says God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in Him would have life. You see, we can think we can trick God. I'll just go say a few words up there and to some of these Christian people, and they'll think, oh, he got saved, so he's going to be good. The Bible says God can look at your heart. God can look all the way through you into your heart and say, didn't do any good. Didn't any good to say those words, because I know your heart. In Matthew 7:7, and I'm closing. And you probably said, thank God, shut up. Jesus said, these are a group of people said, Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. We've preached in your name. We've done so many miracles in your name. We have done all of these things. And you would think Jesus would say, man, way to go, guys. Man, I need some more people like you. I need some guys that are out there doing it. But Jesus said these words to them, Matthew 7:21. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. What? Lord, we just told you all the good things we did. He said, depart from me, you, for I never knew you. And I struggled with that verse until I read that and tried to study that. Here's the problem. You know what the main subject of those verses was? Them. Look what I did for you. Look how I preached. Look how I gave. Look how I did. If you still got the I problem, Jesus can't save you. Jesus can't save you. If you've got an I problem, you've got to say, Father, I'm a miserable wreck. And without you, I have no hope. Without you, I'll never make it to heaven. Without you, the devil's going to win my life. I need you tonight. Can I ask you a question? You need Jesus tonight? Do you want to change your life really? Do you want a brand new start, a brand new hope? Do you want to get off drugs? Do you want to get off alcohol? Do you want to be able to go home and spend the rest of your life taking care of your family and being blessed? You may live in a tent, but you'll be happy. Because you see, what Jesus gives you, no man can give you. He gives you the truth. Would you bow with me just for a moment, please? We only have a few minutes. Father, we want to thank you tonight for this word. Man, you came to give me life. When people tell me I'm sorry and no good, I just say, well, you're absolutely right, I am. But Jesus loves me and forgave me. Father, I'm asking tonight, maybe if there's one here tonight, I'm praying not just for one, I'm praying that if a roomful needs to come and take some of these Christians by the hand, there'll be Christians here to pray with them and to show them and to give them hope. But I know what will happen as soon as they pray that. The devil will enter the heart and say that. You can't get saved that way. You can't trust Jesus by saying a few words. Oh, yes, you can. According to Jesus' word, you can. So, Father, would you touch hearts and lives tonight? We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you mind standing? And the reason we do that, it's just easier if somebody wants to come maybe to pray or talk to one of the Christians up here, whatever they need to do. That way they don't have to walk on your feet, which you'll be proud of later. Charles is going to lead us on a song, but if you need to come, we have Christians sitting right here on these front rows or all around the room. Why don't you come? Don't wait. Seriously, don't wait, because you never know what tomorrow's going to bring. Charles, would you sing for us? Do you need Jesus tonight? Don't let the devil, like he did, try to do us, keep us in bondage. Would you come? Why don't you come? Commit yourself that I'm going to have a prayer said for me to be a prayer blessing. Doug will pray for you. Would you come tonight? Would you come? If you need somebody to pray with you, just give us a look. We'll go with you and pray. I come. If you know the song, why don't you sing it with Charles?
I need you every time. Stay, Lord, near my. Temptations lose their power when you are gone.
Come on now, if you need to come, we're fixing to close. Don't sit there needing to go like I did and wait and let the devil have victory in your life. Don't let him be the winner tonight. Well, listen, I thank you tonight for being here. It's 8:01 according to what I have. And so, here's the deal, guys. Even when you leave, Jesus can save you. He'll save you wherever you're going. I was timid. I couldn't step out. It took me 6 months after I asked Christ to step out and tell people about it because I was so afraid. But I tell you, it was the best thing I ever did. The snack bar is going to be open. We hope to see you next week. Hope you have a great week. God bless you and have a great day. Here we go. We're dismissed. Here we go.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.